తేజస్వినీతమస్సు మా విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి.
He says, having attained unity with me, meaning the higher self within,
They are neither born in creation nor disturbed in distribution. Pralaya and Pradola. Pralaya. Laya means sleep. Pralaya means long sleep. Even in dissolution, you will not be, you will not, you need not worry because there will be no more birth. Prabhama and Pralaya, you are absolutely out, free. Prabhama means emanation. Pralaya means distribution. That's why he says neither born in creation nor disturbed in distribution. Once you have woken up, all this is not for you. Because the vasana is not gone. Now it completely burns the impressions.
The?
Burns the impressions. And as long as the impressions are there, you will continue to be in the recycling. The recycling continues. The karmic effects continues. The bondage continues. The repeated birth, repeated death continues. The whole pattern repeats itself. So that's why that very basic impression needs to be removed. See, why do we say forgiveness helps? How does forgiveness help you? We think when you forgive, you are helping that person. Actually, forgiveness is more helpful to you. Because if you don't forgive, then you will continue to have that resistance because of which the impressions will be. The impressions will create a cyclic pattern with that person or with that type of person.
Yes.
So, if you want to free yourself, you need to forgive. And forgiveness is nothing but a form of awareness. It is an awareness. So, when you do prayer, the prayer is supposed to increase your level of awareness, whereby you will become more thankful and forgiving. It's an outcome of awareness. When you become thankful and forgiving, you become full. So there is no more craving. And there is no more impressions, resistance. So your karmic cycle starts breaking up. That is the idea. So that is why when you do sadhana, see, there are different levels. First you take care of the physical level. Then you take care of your nervous system, your brain, your mind. Then you go to the level of even vasana. So when you do that, there is a complete reduction. And that's what is happening. When a person gains knowledge, he will become grateful, thankful and forgiving. As a result, there is no craving. He's full. And the world is attracted to the person who is full, not the person who is demanding. You see in the world, there is a person who is constantly demanding. You don't want to be with him. A person who is full is cheerful. Everybody wants to be with him or her. So the nature tends to get attracted to him when he becomes free from wants, free from demands. He becomes the commander of all that he enjoys. And then also forgiveness is there in him. So there is no resistance. And the fact that he doesn't have any resistance, no more cyclic pattern. So it's more important for you to have forgiveness. So next 3 years ago. Now, having said this, now he gives little knowledge which he actually spoke in detail in the 7th chapter. In the 7th chapter, which is called as what? Jnana, Vijnana, Yoga. There he talked about how this world is formed. He said, Bhumi, Apa, Anala, Vayu, Kam, Mano, Buddhi, Anga. All these 8 combining with the spirit, the Atma, the world has emerged. This is the path and the creation. So this creation is nothing but spirit and matter. And then the spirit has no quality, no gunas. It is the matter that has gunas. And now in this chapter, in this 30, sorry, in this, sorry, we are in the 14th chapter. In the 7th chapter, he talks about Jnana Vijnana Yoga, which he again emphasized in the 13th chapter, that is Purusha and Prakriti. How this world is a play of Purusha and Prakriti. And now he puts that in a just in 3 and 4, and then continues to talk about the gunas of the Prakriti. Not from the Purusha angle, from the Prakriti angle. And how, if you as a combination do not have this knowledge, can get bound by the gunas. And that takes you down the list. Whereas if you gain this knowledge, then you will not succumb to the pressures of the gunas. You rather rise to the higher perfection. Therefore, I will give you that knowledge of Prakriti and its various gunas, how they bind you, the consequences, how you can rise above the gunas. All that he is from now on going to completely give us in detail. Let's start verse 3 and 4. Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma, Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma, Tasmin Garbham Dadamyaham, Tasmin Garbham Dadamyaham, Sambhavat Sarva Bhutanam, Sambhavat Sarva Bhutanam, Tato Bhavati Bharata, Tato Bhavati Bharata, Mama Yonir Mahat Brahma, Tasmin Garbham Dadamyaham, Sambhavat Sarva Bhutanam, Tato Bhavati Bharata, Sarva Yonishu Kaunteya, Sarva Yonishu Kaunteya, Murtaya Sambhavantiyaha, Murtaya Sambhavantiyaha, Tatam Brahma Mahadyonihi, Tatam Brahma Mahadyonihi, Aham Bija Pradapita, Aham Bija Pradapita, Sarva Yonishu Kaunteya, Murtaya Sambhavantiyaha, Tatam Brahma Mahadyonihi, Aham Bija Pradapita. Mama Yoni Mahat Brahma. Now Sri Krishna identifying with Brahman, the divinity, Ishwara, is talking here. He says, Mama Yonihi. Yonihi means womb. My womb. Womb is the conducive environment from which the being emerges, from which the total creation emerges. So the Advaita philosophy says, in Brahman, there is Maya Shakti. The Shakti in Brahman is called as Maya. When Brahman identifies with that Shakti, the creation emerges. That's all he's saying. Instead of getting into Yoni, Yini and all that. No. My womb is great Brahma, meaning Maya Shakti. In that I place the seed. Tasmin garbham tadami aham. I am placing the seed in the Maya. Meaning what? When the conscious principle, which is independent of Maya, Satyam, whereas Maya Shakti is Mithya, it is dependent on Satyam. For example, is the pot dependent on clay or the clay dependent on pot?
Pot dependent on
clay. Pot dependent on clay. Correct, no? Clay can remain as clay, but pot cannot remain without clay. So in this, pot is
Maya,
the name and form. The clay is Satya. This example. So, now in this example, there is one more. There is a pot maker. A pot maker who has the intelligence to make the pot out of clay. In the case of Brahman, both the intelligent cause and the material cause is Brahman only. But in the Brahman, the material cause is the Maya Shakti and the intelligent cause is the Purusha or consciousness. So when in short, when the consciousness expresses through the Maya, the beings emerge. Right. So my womb is great Brahma, in that I place the seed. Then arises birth of all beings, both Bhagavata. Whatever forms are produced in all wombs, O Kaunteya. Very interesting choice of name to address Arjuna in the context. Kaunteya, which Kunti Putra, to come through the womb of Kunti, but you are also nothing but the play of spirit and matter, Maya. You are also a combination of spirit and matter. So he says, O Kaunteya, whatever forms are produced in all wombs, great Brahma is their womb. Meaning what? Maya is the womb. Because of the Maya, now you, the sadhana has come out, mukta has come out, mandiri has come out, puja has come out. When you can gain knowledge of Brahman, go beyond Maya, then you know that this puja, sadhana, all this interaction, everything is tamasha. But at the moment it is not tamasha, it is real for you. So, in Ishvara, the Maya Shakti is an aspect. And when the Lord identifies with the Maya Shakti, the creation emerges. Right? When that creation emerges, there are variety of beings. Now each of these beings will have their own gunas according to the permutation combination of sattva, rajas, tamas, which is the part of prakriti. So great Brahma, Om and all that is nothing but prakriti. Purusha is the Brahman. When Purusha is expressing through the prakriti, the various beings emerge. So great Brahma is the Om. I am the seed-giving father. So, in short, when he says, I am the seed-giving father, what you need to understand is, my role as Purusha, in other words, your essential self, which is Purusha, the role is only God, enlivening. But once it is enlivened with Prakriti, instantly you come under the sway of Maya. Now, this if you get, then you will not fall into the Maya again. See, when Mohini appeared in front of Bhasmasura, you know the story, no? Bhasmasura got the boon from Lord Shiva, that whosoever head he touches will be crushed to ashes, powdered. That's all of the power he got. Bhasma, you know, they will become Bhasma. Since he was called as Bhasma Asura. Then that fellow said, how do I know whether this will work? So let me try it on Shiva himself. And Shiva knows it will work. So the Lord Shiva started running because he was trying to make him into Bhasma. So he started running and calling Lord Narayan for help. So he came as a woman. Beautiful woman in the form of Mohini. He comes and then the moment Bhasmasura saw Mohini, he was completely bewitched by her beauty and then he lost it. You understand? Then whatever Mohini did, she does. If she dances like this, left hand, right hand, right hand. Then she, as she danced, which he was copying. Once she kept her own hand on around it. He did the same thing.
Then he
was getting questions. So, this is the story. Now, this is exactly what is happening. All that the masters are telling us is, what is going on in the universe is, there is a play of the higher self and the lower self. Purusha and the Prakriti. Like we discussed, water particle in the air, sunlight penetrates, rainbow comes. You know when light passing through that, water vapors. You see that rainbow. Exactly like that, you, me and all of us, all this are rainbows. Each one has different permutation combination of plants. So, if you gain this knowledge totally, what happens is, inside you will be free from the bandha, and from outside the other fellows are all bound by their guna, they are all in maya. But you understand each one has a certain guna and bound by that guna. He helplessly is functioning according to the guna. Then you will be able to relate with them accordingly. So this knowledge helps you from the point of view of living as well as from the point of view of moksha. Now instantly you become free. That's why I said, this knowledge that you gain, why this knowledge is called as supreme knowledge by Sri Krishna? Once I gain this, I become instantly free. Thereafter you will not be complaining. You know that the person is behaving like because of the person. How well will he behave? Dominated by Krishna? So, Mama Yoni Maha Brahma, meaning Brahma, the Maya Shakti, the entire cosmos, the earth emerged from the Niji, is dependent on me. I am the one who is giving existence to it. The very existence to it is given by me. No. You can see these huge balloons in the form of human beings, which they make them fly during some events. Like one big, huge man is standing, and they are, you know, on the balloon, some advertisements are, you know, given. It is basically inflated by air. When they inflate the balloon with air, it comes in the form of a man. Now air can say, it's because of me the fellow is existing. I'm the chief giving part. I am giving Garba. Meaning I'm independent force.
Just by my mere presence, the Maya has projected this world.
Now related with what we have been talking before. Mukta is there. The existence of Mukta leaves the possibility of not understanding Mukta as Mukta exists. There is Manjari. The existence of Manjari leaves the possibility of not understanding Manjari as Manjari. The potential of not understanding Manjari as Manjari is in Manjari. She is not there. How can you misunderstand her? But when I identify with that potential, then Manjari is projected as Maya, Mamta, Tanya, whatever. So, just because the potential is there doesn't mean Manjari will become Mamta. But when I identify with that potential, then out of ignorance, I project mamta or mukta where there is manjit. Right? But under me, all that is there is manjit. Tuned in, this information doesn't bring about the change.
So it's not intellectual.
It's not just intellectual understanding. Just because you understood this concept doesn't mean you
know.
But if along with it you are doing sadhana, and this understanding will come when you see people behaving differently. Some people are, you know, you've done so much good for them, still they are trying to stab you at the back. Now you are shocked. With this knowledge you won't be shocked. Study. We are functioning like that because of ignorance.
So basically what I would be doing is I would not be shocked. I would have understanding.
Therefore
I am not attaching emotion and building
whatever. Yes.
This is what
I'm saying. Yes. But as far as yourself is concerned, even you have projected yourself as puja. Believe me. Now bring the knowledge even further down to yourself. The example I gave is external, that I am, there is Mandiri. But the potential of not understanding Mandiri as Mandiri is in Mandiri. Now when I identify that potential, then I project somebody whom I know who looks exactly like Mandiri. The quality should be matching. Are you with me? So then I think it is Tanya. I get closer and say, hey Tani. Then I say, oh sorry, I thought it was my friend Tani. Are you with me? So, but can you misunderstand a boulder as a snake? Can you misunderstand a crack on the earth as a boulder? But can you misunderstand a boulder as an elephant? Can you misunderstand a crack on the earth to be a rope? Why? There are similar. Similarly, the world that you see is nothing but time, space and causation, which is eternal, all-pervading, endless. These are the same qualities of Brahman also. Eternal, all-pervading, endless.
When we ask you to put the fan there, what are we adding to it? And you know the fan is for blasting. Last year also I had to tell them, the fan is for silent for dialogue.
So when the
AC the fan bulk arose, we could not blow the double. Because we have to not here.
When the ignorance of the rope has a potential to be misunderstood to be a snake. But just because the rope is lying and the potential is there, it doesn't get misunderstood. But when you identify with that potential, then the misunderstanding of the snake comes about. Similarly, there is this identification with the potential and the puja as well. Now by understanding all this and you start seeing, you will be able to see yourself apart, standing apart and watching. This objectivity will continue, not only when you sit and reflect over a period of time, slowly when you are doing all other work also. So you will see yourself standing apart and watching. This is how when you do reflection and sadhana, you will help yourself. With reference to having objectivity towards your own personality and with reference to others who function bound by their gunas. And sometimes in you also, certain things that come up because of the gunas, when you can clearly see, guna is there in me, that's binding me, that's compelling me. You are seeing like as if you are seeing an outside.
Exactly, but then what should we do about that
guna?
We have to do something or just watch it?
No, see, first you watch it and don't give it an impetus. Don't start acting. Bring discrimination to it. First, if it's weak, by being witness bodo, if it was strong, it probably requires a little direction. So you bring in discrimination and direct it in your life. So that you don't succumb to that guna and you're not mechanically given impetus to that guna. So that it doesn't become strong for you. And do your sadhana to further increase sattva. Yeah, higher gunas. This is the way to rise beyond the gunas.
But a guna might not be something simple, to me simple, because I feel it's very easy to resist, like say smoking or alcohol, fine. It might be something a little more on the emotional side, like craving others' approval, which is actually my weakness. So actually what would be the practical step when I'm trying to just please everyone what they want? So now it's very difficult to have that strength to think, okay, I don't have to please them because it's a weakness, it's me and it's me. Me only, you know, weak or unhappy or just how to separate from such a thing which is so ingrained what we have brought up with.
See, like I said, there is certain way of living that has bound you in a certain way for a longer period of time. But now our system and everything is designed that way. This wiring in the brain itself has happened like that. So you have to deal with it at a physical level, nervous system level and intellectual level. A physical level and nervous system level is exercises and yoga and pranayama. When you come to knowledge on a daily basis, you must reflect on the knowledge of this perfectly Purusha. As you do that, then along with your yoga, pranayama, walking, jogging, good sattvic diet, good people, everything, all that sadhana put together, the knowledge converts itself into wisdom. At that time you see even the wiring in the brain changes. Then you will not be succumbing to others.
I was born and brought up from there, but now 95% veg for 31 years. But when I travel, or even like 94 last, I eat non-veg. My reactions are neither calm nor loving as they normally are. I feel a change and I feel a dip in my positivity level in terms of reaction to the outside world. I don't cope so well. Is there something? I don't have a connection, but intellectually
you feel guilty?
No.
You must be subconsciously feeling.
No. But I cannot connect to that positive level which I exist on daily. I'm very happy. Normally my level is always up there.
It's only when you eat you feel perfect.
Yeah. The next day something dips down.
When she is non-vegetarian,
and I have experienced it.
When she is vegetarian, she is feeling
a connection between
why do I eat it?
Why do I eat it? Who lada us once in a month? Everybody is having the kids are there, so you make a feast. But like he is saying, coverage and diet and all. I don't have an explanation, but with me it's really true. I see the reaction. And it's not a, I'm brought up not that my father used to do shikar. So it's not a killed animal. He killed every animal and we were brought home mixed and we ate it. Come on. No shikari.
No, that mentality, that is them.
In my daily life, I see that positive energy is not there today. And it has happened quite often for me to make the connection. Kuch hai.
See, food is conducive. Food as conducive, not directed. But having said that, definitely when your awareness level rises to a certain thing, when you eat that, there is, I won't call it as guilt or something, but definitely there is the awareness kind of making you feel little low.
Yeah.
The awareness, you know, is intensified now. You just have to drop it. Question of forget about goes back. If you are eating and not feeling that good about it.
Yeah, mostly dropped. And then once in a while when you slip back, then you think, oh God, yeah, there's this connection and to me it
happens. Anyway, so now come back to this word. All that he's saying is, my who is this Maya? Meaning it is within me. Maya is different of me. I'm not different of Maya. But in my presence, the Maya becomes multiple words. But it keeps on multiplying. Right? And that, therefore, all this creation, everything has come from Maya. I am just the seed giving. Just the seed giving father means what? I'm just enlivening factor. In my presence, everything comes out.
Sattvam rajastamaiti, sattvam rajastamaiti, guna prakriti sambhavaha, guna prakriti sambhavaha, nivadnanti mahabhaho, nivadnanti mahabhaho, dehe dehinam avyayam, dehe dehinam avyayam, sattvam rajastamaiti, guna prakriti sambhavaha, nivadnanti mahabhaho, dehe dehinam avyayam. Now, once the universe comes, now the prakriti has inherent gunas. That gunas manifests in the world outside. So, he talks about the nature of these gunas. What is sattva? What is rajas? What is tamas? And how do they bind you? How does sattva bind you? How does rajas bind you? How does tamas bind you? And what are the consequences of functioning in sattva, rajas and tamas? And how do I get out of this sattva, rajas, tamas? And what is the ultimate benefit we achieve when we cross over the three gunas? In this angle, he takes the chapter now. Sattvam rajas tama iti guna prakriti sambhavaha. So when the purusha is enlivening the prakriti, from the prakriti these three gunas manifest. So gunas are pertaining to prakriti, not purusha. Purusha is only enlivening factor. So from the combination, now sattva rajas tama emerges. Sattva, rajas, tamas, these gunas, qualities born of prakriti, matter, and having emerged, what do they do? Bind the indestructible embodied. Who is that indestructible embodied? Atma, Brahman. Now, binds the indestructible embodied should be read as binds the indestructible embodied as though. Not really binds. This is a imagination. In this context, I always give that example of Gulliver's travel. Gulliver's travel. Gulliver was sleeping and his Lilliputians were binding him, tying him up and nailing the ropes to the ground. Gulliver was just sleeping, nothing. And these guys were so busy. Well, you know, achieve that tiger there. So they left him completely tied. He didn't even know about Gulliver. Next day morning, he just, without knowing that these guys have done all this, he just stretched like every day. Morning when he get up to stretch, he stretched all his hands and legs. But all the ropes broke. So all you need to do is, Brahman cannot be tied. It is a mockery. You are imagining that you are tied. So to help you understand that, in our culture, they name you Mukta, they name you Sadhana. You are that, not this. But you are all. You are not really tied as though. The indestructible embodied is bound by the subconsciousness. It becomes harder. Now you are scared to question it. What will happen? In fact, in relationships also, people live like this. Like for example, oh my God, I can't imagine my life without this job. हमें क्या होगा अगर ये जॉब नहीं है तो हमें क्या होगा. Similarly, there are people who are caught up in relationships with all sorts of domestic violence and extremely unhappy living. Still they think, I don't know what happened to me. So I continue with all this insults and violence and with the same family, with the same husband, the same wife. So we are not interesting people who need to divorce. But the thought that, you know, I can't. You, over a period of time, become so dependent. You lose the level of your majesty. How did you fall? How did you start thinking that, you know, this conditioning is incredible. What this universe, over a period of time, has done to you. Scared of you know, going into darkness and this and that. The fears limit you. You have formed a beautiful imaginary personality about yourself. You think I'm limited. And there are so many limitations. You think I can't function, I can't live. It's not possible. You know, so that is there. When you listen to somebody's motivational speech, how they broke the limitations. Sometimes in nature, the situation may make you come out of it. For example, a lady who was just a housewife, for everything she was living with the husband, and the husband may be a very good soul, but the wife was a different person, and she doesn't know anything, she didn't bother to know anything, she is so limited, for everything she is living on the husband. She can't drive, she can't go to the market, you know, like that. There are some women like that. But when the man dies, the children are small. Then the necessity has come in her. Then out of compulsion, necessity for survival, she starts breaking up. Meaning starts stretching like a stone. Now the question, now how come that girl lady who was so scared of stepping out of the house is not only stepping out of the house, going to work, giving presentations, going abroad, from what level to what level of transformation? Who is lonely? This is what you think. The thing that you need to understand here is, these gunas, what their natures are, he's talking about. This was interesting. Sattva, rajas and tamas, by the indestructible embodied, your own self, which is free and independent, and you live in that kind of a rut. After a while, you start making efforts. Exactly like an elephant, you know. When it is small, they tie it to the pillar with a chain. And the baby elephant is trying to break the chain. It's not able to. And when it grows also, when it becomes strong, they still tie the elephant with the same chain. The elephant can easily break the chain. But he says, I've been trying for so many years, I did not break, so stop trying. So the elephant is tied to the chain, which it just takes one or two more steps to break, but it will not take. It will just not take. That one or two steps if you take, how the whole thing will change. Step you have to make. That's why I said some examples in there, situations in there. Here, through knowledge you make, not through situations. We are binding ourselves in many ways. You are capable of achieving much more. You know, the other day you were discussing. I used to go everywhere, now suddenly the fear came, I will fall, then I restrain myself. Same thing, your mind. The gunas are bending you. Now that doesn't mean be stupid and then don't take necessary care.
Yeah.
You got to assess, then that will become tamasic. You got to assess, now I am 20 years old, so a certain lifestyle I led, so that the bones may be brittle. All that is fine, but why should I limit myself? If I can use the technology and still keep myself free, I should. In fact, the more you understand spirituality, the more you become independent. You will. This verse is saying that only that. Otherwise, all you take is matter by the embodied self, as it were. To the body, oh Bhava, oh mighty arm. The mighty arm, Arjuna, meaning Arjuna represents you and me. So he's saying, you are that mighty arm. You just stretch. This knowledge will help you to stretch. Not to accept anything lying low. And then getting bound by this tamas, rajas, and so forth. So when he says the matter binds the indestructible Brahman, it actually doesn't bind. It appears to be bound. It's like remaining in sedate condition. Continuously in sedation. You question that. With this understanding, you will start going. Tatra Tattvam Nirmalatva Prakashakamanamayam
ప్రకాశకమనామయం సుఖసంగేన బధ్నాతి సుఖసంగేన బధ్నాతి జ్ఞానసంగేన చానగ జ్ఞానసంగేన చానగ తత్ర సత్వం నిర్మలత్వాత్ ప్రకాశకమనామయం సుఖసంగేన బధ్నాతి జ్ఞానసంగేన చానగ. This sattva being stainless, satra sattvam nirmalatva, mala means stain, nirmala means stainless. So what he is saying is sattva seems is stainless because sattva is what? Devoid of rajas and tamas. Rajas and tamas are the mala. When the rajas and tamas mala reduces, sattva increases, right? So that's what he's saying. Sattva being stainless is luminous. The very nature of sattva is luminosity, light, clarity and healthy. So when a person falls sick, his original self is health. His original nature is health. What you call a swastha. Swastha means healthy. But when you fall sick, what is happening? Some bacteria, something has come in. So you remove the bacteria, then you again become healthy. So the original state of sattva is luminosity, clarity and healthy. It binds through attachment to happiness. So when a person drops the rajas and tamas, he establishes more and more sattva. That sattva also has a binding nature. What kind of binding nature? It attaches to happiness and clarity. The worldly knowledge and worldly material aspects. Like sattva is also a bondage. You have to go beyond sattva. That's all it's trying to say. It binds through attachment to happiness, attachment to knowledge. A person who is, and he is addressing Arjuna as anaga. Anaga means sinless. So what is sattva? Clarity and health. And sattva, how does it bind? It binds you to knowledge, worldly knowledge, and to the health aspect. It binds you. Sukha sangena badnati. Sukha sangena badnati means happiness. Sattvic person is not interested to give up his happiness and the pursuit of knowledge. That itself is a bondage. That doesn't mean you have to give it up. But the attachment is there to happiness and knowledge. The rajasic person straight away compromises. Tamasic also compromises. But the sattvic person never compromises. Even when he is studying the scriptures, if you give him a choice between studying the scriptures and material things, he rather chooses studying the scriptures. But there is an attachment there. Finally, that attachment also has to come. Obviously, the person is getting a far superior happiness compared to the other. So he is attached. Even that attachment he has to put. In other words, there is a dependence on scriptures. There is a dependence on certain things for happiness. he has to become absolutely free from that dependence. That happiness is true happiness. So is the sattva binds you to knowledge and happiness. Sukha sankhena nati jnana sankhena rajo rajatmakam rajo ragatmakam vidhi rajo ragatmakam vidhi krishna sangata bhavam krishna sangata bhavam tanni bhatnati kaunteya tanni bhatnati kaunteya karma sangena dehinam karma sangena dehinam rajo ragatmakam vidhi krishna sangata bhavam tanni bhatnati kaunteya karma sangena dehinam. No rajas to be of the nature of passion. The source of thirst and attachment, Krishna and attachment. It binds fast for Gaunteya, the Buddhi Pura, embodied by attachment to action. A rajasic person is full of desires. He is therefore attached to action. It is external drive. A sattvic person is able to sit in a place and probably attached to the work that he can do, sitting in a place, meditating, etc. More introverted. A rajasic fellow has so much of desire and passion, he has to move, has to do. In fact, even the choice of music, when your sattva increases, vis-a-vis there is so much of rajas and tamas. You need that love to music. You need that. Here, he still needs that music. But it is subtler, classic. So rajasic person, the play, what you say rajas means passion. So he is saying raja, raga, maka. Full of likes and desires. Raga, which. Rajasic person, the critical thing about the fellow is likes and dislikes. A sattvic person doesn't act on likes and dislikes. A sattvic person goes by what is good for him. He is bound to that. A rajasic person is bound to likes and dislikes. What he likes, he attaches. What he dislikes, he runs away from. That is how a rajasic person functions. So rajo rajatmakam vidhi. Know that rajas is ragatmaka. Trishna sanga samudbhavam. There is this, the source of, it is a source of thirst, craving and attachment. The mind craves for what you do not have and gets attached to what you have. When this is what you are going through, that means there is rajas predominating in you. There is constant craving. You will crave for something and then you get it, you will be attached to it. I sure I don't want to lose it. I hope I don't lose it. And you are simultaneously craving for something. This is a typical trait of a rajasic fellow. There is Krishna and attachment. Craving for what you do not have and asking for what you, sorry, attaching to what you have. This is the trait of a rajasic person. It binds fast. It binds you strongly to the world. The embodied attachment to action is therefore constantly insecure and acting to aggrandize. How much ever he gets is not satisfied. This category majority fits in. Isn't it? How much ever you have? Because he gives it to mind. And mind is insatiable. Anything you give to the mind is never gets satiated. Still wants more, still wants more. So therefore, the person is constantly running after things, scheming and planning to get that, and then he gets it also, he's not happy. 24 years. Mind is running very fast. This year, on the 2nd of September, Swamiji's lecture is on. This year in Delhi, the topic is intense work is rest.
Intense work?
Intense work is rest. Intense work, very intensely we work, there is rest. How to do that, there is enough. Bhairava Samhita's quote, intense work is rest. That's the lecture on 2nd of September. So, 2nd to 7th we have lectures. 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th will be chapter 16 of the Bhagavad Gita. Second will be intense work is rest. What I am saying is, when your mind is rajasic, it's not restful. Constantly jumping around. Restless equilibrium it will be. Such a mind is constantly making you run without rest. People who burn the candle on both sides, extremely restful. The environment itself is very conducive and rajasic when you go to Western countries. And here, if you have a typical rajasic fellow, even though the environment is not conducive, he is constantly running. In his environment, if you happen to be, you will find that, you know, constant running. How much ever they get, they are not appreciated. Run, this, that. They are constantly interested in aggrandizing. You have a nice, good house, you will enjoy. You will want one big farmhouse somewhere in the mountain top. And you start working. And once you get it, that is not enough. Something, you know, the mind is running. So it's not the body running, it's the mind running that is the problem. So therefore it is a give in to action. It's not talking about Karma Yoga, it's talking about running to process. Running to fulfill their cravings and enhance their attachments. The typical rajasic lifestyle. He can't sit quiet. In fact, he thinks if he sits quiet, something wrong. You know? He thinks it's a waste of time. But constantly, act. There are people who think they should not spend time to eat. As they drive, they should eat. Don't waste your time for eating.
Or while they eat, they talk on the phone. I don't know how.
Extremely realistic. That's what is done. Next. Tamas. Tamastvajnanajam viddhi, tamastvajnanajam viddhi, mohanam sarva dehinam, pramadalasya nidrabhihi, pramadalabhya nidrabhihi, tannibadnati bharata, tamastvajnanajam viddhi, mohanam sarva dehinam, pramadalasya nidrabhihi,
but no tamas to be born of ignorance, steeped in ignorance, deluded. The deluder of all embodiment. It binds fast through heedlessness, indolence and sleep, oh Bharata. Yeah, tamas in a person binds him to ignorance, steeped in ignorance. And absolutely deluded and confused. Like in Hamlet, he finds out that his uncle is the cause of his father's death. killing his father, he manipulated the situation and married his own mother. It's the story of Hamlet. You know, his uncle, father's younger brother, murders his father. And then manipulates the situation, marries his own mother. And when he comes through, he wants to kill him. But he's in total delusion. So when he goes to Sadhan, he's doing prayers and thinking, if I kill him now, he'll go to heaven, so I should not kill him.
Oh.
The total delusion that a person is in, what you can talk about? They will do it. They can't see it. They're completely blind. There are people who sign white papers completely blind. When you become, you know, they do it. You're deluded. You don't know the repercussions. Heedless to the consequences. It's a tamasic action. It binds fast through heedlessness. Like how Vernacha defines cigarettes. Remember that, no? He says, a little tobacco rolled in a piece of paper, fire at one end and a fool at the other.
Huh?
And a fool at the other.
Fool.
A fool.
Fool at the other end. Fool.
Fool, foolish fellow. Little tobacco rolled in a piece of paper, fire at one end and a fool at the other. He is reveling in heaven. But what he is actually doing is he is setting himself on fire. It's a constant chimney. But burning his system is finding the pleasure. It's typical tamas, indolence, laziness, sloth. Stumps. Given a choice, he will go to sleep. So tamasic person will be tied to sleep. Rajasic person will be tied to action.
Hyperactivity.
Sattvic person will be attached to
spirituality.
Knowledge. Even that knowledge you should not get attached. Even that obligation is not supposed to be attached. But you will be attached to obligation. So he says, here in verse number 8 he talks about tamasic self. He gives it to sloth. They think by closing their eyes the world stops functioning. Typical example for tamas is procrastination. Or leave it, it'll get sorted out by itself. Leave it, it'll get sorted out by itself. It won't get sorted out by itself, it'll become bigger.
Exactly. It has become bigger. It should have been 10 to 20 years back.
So that's what he's saying. It binds you to heedless to consequences. One thought comes and then you act on it. Out of ignorance. People do take chances with it. One act.
Sorry, I got distracted. I didn't hear.
No, I'm saying heedless to the consequence. Ignorance takes over. Delusion takes over. You don't know what to do. You do something out of that ignorance. Heedless to the consequence. You think you'll get away with it. Or you may not even see through the consequences. Like Swamiji talks about one businessman in Bangalore. He was in printing business. And you know, it's not easy, you know. The customers, they give you order to print something and then they say, no, this color is not. In spite of taking their approval, when you gave them sample, still they say, no, sample was correct, this is not the same, it will be the same. I mean, customers are big. By the time they get the money into your account, it's a headache. So this fellow thought, I have to print, satisfy the customer and then get the money after 2-3 months. Why do all that? Finally you have to get the money, no? Why does it print money? So he thought, straight away started printing money. See guys? Then he got caught and ended up in jail. This is some
reflection.
No, that's wrong. Needless to consequence. Heedless to consequence. They bind to that. They don't want to put in effort to think. They don't want to look at the consequences. What could be the consequence? No, nothing. Just go away. Everything will become aware. I have done this before. Things have gone. I know what I'm talking about. It's very difficult.
सकलं परस्मै नारायणायेति समर्पयामि